boxer Muhammad Ali was seated on an airplane when the flight attendant was passing by and asked him to buckle his seatbelt. Being his cocky, charismatic self, Ali said, "Superman don't need no seatbelts." To which the flight attendant replied, "Superman don't need no airplane either." And just like that, the heavyweight champ was put in his place. Maybe we would say it was a technical knockout for the flight attendant. Well, like the flight attendant, Jesus also brings an attitude adjustment to those attending and jockeying for certain status seats at a wedding banquet. This dinner scene being described to us is another lesson on Christ-like hospitality. People entering the dinner were all about personal gain. You know, if they were there, the lesson is not about for them, it was about the seat. It was about status. It was about the lead role or the spotlight. But that's not what the lesson is. The lesson is about the actions we take in our hearts. That is the mark of being a follower of Jesus, a disciple of Jesus. Jesus had little patience for those who feel entitled. Jesus says, "Wait to be called." There is so much joy when we are called up to a higher place. "Know instead," Jesus says, "the excitement and joy to be considered worthy of a seat." Now, when we turn that around, when one is boastful, boldly vocal about what they deserve, how difficult it is then to be seen or heard in a positive light when we've bossed our way through a situation or a setting. How difficult it is, more importantly, to praise God when we've put ourselves higher. So it's not just about seats, it's about the actions we take. For the actions we take will let room for God, will let room for others. There's no place when we're boastful or boldly vocal about what we deserve. There's no place in our hearts to go, and there's no place for anyone else. Better to take the seat of humility, for the exalted will be humbled, and the humble will be exalted. Jesus doesn't stop with just the entitled seat grabbers. He then turns to the host for the second part of the lesson. For it's not just about seats, but also about who we invite in the first place. Jesus has another guest list in mind, which is also a mark of being one of his followers. Let's just say up front that this guest list will bring one a reward of righteousness, not of this world, but in the next. As the parable told us, those who were inviting their friends, their rich neighbors, they wanted that reward to swing around in a month or two. They wanted the reward to come to them quickly in an earthly way. But Jesus says a different kind of guest list will honor you a different kind of reward. Let's shoot for that reward, a reward of righteousness. Jesus says, invite the poor of pocket and the poor of heart. Invite both those physically and emotionally disabled. Invite those blind of sight and blind from seeing hope. That is him, Jesus, the hope of the world. Invite those who are just happy to be in the room. To live into this list of Christ-like hospitality has everything to do with our vision. So may we poise ourselves for action in looking for people of the Jesus list. It's not about the seats, but the action to bring more people to a seat. So let's look at it a different way. Your family is having a dinner, maybe a Sunday dinner, and your son or daughter says, "My roommate's coming home from college. Can they join us for the dinner?" And mom yells from the kitchen, "Sure, go into the spare room and get the extra chair and bring it out to the table." Now, I don't know about you, but in our house, sometimes the extra chair is an actual chair that matches the rest of the chairs. But sometimes it's not. Sometimes an extra chair is mismatched. It's a computer chair, a lawn chair, a piano stool. Sometimes we had a piano stool that somebody got to sit on as an extra chair. Sometimes it's a chair that sits too low to the table. Maybe you are the one designated sitting too low at the table in a mismatched chair. Hold that thought. Maybe it's a lesson to check our spirits. Are we deserving of another chair, or are we just glad to be at the table? That is the lesson in the parable. Are we deserving of another chair, or are we just glad to be at the table? Jesus asks us to see the latter, to check our hearts, to act in his example. Jesus will take us all at his table, the misguided and the mismatched. Something else happens when we bring more chairs to the table. The dinner table ends up going beyond where we originally started. And some people see this as a temporary thing. You know, it's okay, we'll all go back to normal. But I think it's Jesus' intent that we continue to add extra chairs. The intent is to grow the table beyond. With a vision of Christ-like hospitality, may we check our spirits. May we be willing to move and add chairs to our ministries as we come to celebrate the joy of a table that stretches into broader spaces. The table of Holy Communion is an open table to mismatch souls. From every place, may those who come check our spirits. Everyone is invited to the table of Jesus Christ. If we earnestly believe in him, wish to live in his word, to strive to live in peace with one another through forgiveness and reconciliation, Jesus says, "Come. The table is open." Today, the table, especially, it is all the time, but the table of Holy Communion is a global table. Today is World Communion Sunday, which is universally recognized every year on the first Sunday of October. Today is the one day Christians share in the one practice we have, and that is Holy Communion. Even across tradition and culture and language and different beliefs of theology, of Christianity, the people around the globe who are Christian are at the Lord's table today, sharing the one practice we all have in common, Holy Communion. You can go anywhere in the world, not know the language, the custom of a worship service, not have a clue at what's going on. But when we walk into a place and see a form of bread and a cup of blessing presented before us, we know what this means. We know that it is something we all share in. Over 14 hours ago, when we were eating our supper last night, Christians in Korea and New Zealand came to the communion table, breaking bread, sharing the cup, remembering the betrayal, sacrifice, death, and resurrection. Move your way across the globe. As a chaplain is preparing communion for troops in Afghanistan, move across the globe as Vatican City is all joined together in the practice of Holy Communion. Keep coming across the pond, because here we are, Eastern Standard Time, joining the globe together in this holy meal. Let us not think of this holy meal separated by time zones, but as a day of unity, as Christ presides over us all, mismatched but a joyful list of guests, just to be happy at his table. The table of Holy Communion is also a heavenly table, as Christ, who is Lord of heaven and earth, is the one hosting this meal. And his table extends all the way to heaven. So when we partake here, we also share this holy meal with the saints, loved ones who have gone before us. Only by the power of God, only by faith, can we sit so closely with loved ones, fellow believers, than we can when we receive this holy meal. Today and every time we partake, we do so with Christ, bringing both heaven and earth to his table. Praise God that we celebrate around this open, global, heavenly table. Oh, that Jesus would bring us all together. Dinner with Jesus means that we must consider his list. To count on our ministries bumping out beyond the normal area of original table. And yes, to be ready to act in going to get extra chairs in his name. Let us pray. Most holy God, we thank you and praise you, for you teach us in every step of our way. Lord, help us to see where we can bring extra chairs to those who would just be happy to be in the room. Lord, we know that our love for you can make us so proud, that we love you so much, how our lives have been transformed. But humble us, Lord, that we may share the grace given to us. Lord, open our eyes as we see your world gathered today in your name. Amen.